A developing story in Cleveland as the Browns have opted to excuse quarterback Baker Mayfield from next week's mandatory minicamp as his days with the team are seemingly drawing closer to an end. After Cleveland traded for Deshaun Watson, it seemed apparent that Mayfield would no longer remain a Brown, especially after the team also signed Jacoby Brissett and Joshua Dobbs as backups to Watson. Head coach Kevin Stefanski addressed the decision on Mayfield earlier today.
Obviously, that was a decision made between our organization, Baker, and Baker's team. Felt like that was the best decision for both sides.
We're off and rolling here at NFL Live. We've got Damian Woody and Teddy Bruce here to see on your screen in just a second, but I am blessed to be joined in studio by Kimberly Martin, and we've got a lot to get to today. Kimberly, glad to have you in the house. And let's start, and let's go right to you, Teddy. Do we think that excusing Baker Mayfield from the team's mandatory minicamp is the right decision for Cleveland to make?
No, I don't think it's the right decision to make, Field, and I'll tell you why. Well, unless they know how long Deshaun Watson's going to be suspended. I mean, because if it's a short suspension, you know, maybe Jacoby and Joshua Dobbs can hold the ranks for about four games, but I don't know why you would want to go into a season with only Jacoby Brissett, who can play quarterback capably, yes, but Joshua Dobbs also, who's only attempted 17 passes in the league. Is there drama? Yes. Is it Baker Mayfield? Yes. But this had been a perfect opportunity to get him in there and just put all of it aside and then go forward with possibly Baker, depending on how long the suspension is for Deshaun Watson. This roster, as I look at it, it can do special things. So why wouldn't you want to be in the best possible situation when you get Deshaun Watson back? That's all I'm thinking here. Wood, that's all I'm thinking. I'm thinking about championships. I'm thinking about what's going to put you in the best situation to get them. And the best situation for them this year is to be in the best possible record when Deshaun Watson walks in that locker room able to play quarterback for the Browns.
Yeah, Brew, you know, just, you know, being former players, we have a unique ability in the locker room to deal with all type of issues that come our way. And I totally agree with you in this manner that, listen, if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm not dealing away or letting go of Baker Mayfield. This roster is ready-made. It's one of the most talented rosters in the National Football League, a roster that can compete for a Super Bowl championship this year. We don't know what the status of Deshaun Watson is going to be. Everyone's speculating 4-6. You know, it could be the whole season. We don't know. But what I do know is that this Cleveland Browns roster has a plethora of talent. This is a roster that obviously Baker Mayfield is accustomed to, and he knows the personnel quite well. And so if I'm the Cleveland Browns, why would I deal away an asset that can help me win right now?
Yeah, I think it probably boils down to this, Kimberly, is that Baker Mayfield's days as a Brown are either over or close to being over.
Yeah.
And that begs the question that I've only asked you about 30 times so far this offseason is, are we any closer at this moment to a trade of Baker Mayfield from Cleveland?
As of this moment, Field, no. But the Browns understand they're looking to deal Baker Mayfield. But as the guys are talking about, they're not looking to just give Baker away for nothing. Andrew Berry, the GM, wants to get stuff back for Baker. And it's not just going to be, hey, we'll just pay the salary. You just take this player. The Browns understand the situation they're in. They also understand that they've moved on from Baker, but they do need that safety net. But that safety net can also be Jacoby Brissett. I heard Teddy talking about, I don't know how I would feel with Jacoby Brissett. Why wouldn't you want to be in the best position with this roster? But the Browns feel pretty good about Jacoby Brissett if he has to start. I think the rest of us looking at the situation think Baker would be a good safety net, but Baker also has to want to come to mandatory minicamp, which he does not. The Browns understand that, which is why he's been excused. This drama, it's an issue, and that's why he's staying away.
Yeah, you'd rather not deal with Baker Mayfield drama, but you'd rather deal with all the drama that you're going to have with Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
This is what
right
I don't understand. All it is a little attitude you got to just squash for a little bit. Baker, you know what's best for you. We know what's best for us, okay? You want to get your money? Come on in, play some games, show the league you're healthy, you're ready to go, help us win a little bit till our quarterback comes back in. You can do what's best for you. You can do what's best for us. And then we can split. I just don't think the Cleveland Browns are mature enough to handle a situation like this the right way.
We shall see, as of course, right now, Baker Mayfield remains a Cleveland Brown. In other news out of Cleveland, the New York Times reported Tuesday that Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson booked massage appointments with at least 66 different women over 17 months from fall 2019 through the spring of 2021. That number includes the 24 women who have filed civil lawsuits against Watson, including two in the past week. The New York Times also reported that the non-disclosure agreement that Watson gave to some of the women to sign came from the Texans' director of security. The Texans declined to comment on the NDA, but said in a statement that they first found out about the allegations against Watson in March 2021 when the first lawsuit was filed. Though two grand juries in Texas declined to pursue criminal charges against Watson earlier this year, the NFL is currently investigating whether he violated its code of conduct and interviewed the quarterback in person last month as part of its investigation. Here's Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
I think for me, I'm going to be respectful of the investigation, of the legal proceedings. I'm going to let that play out. Yeah, I think we're repping the quarterbacks appropriately right now. As more information comes available, you may modify and adapt what you do, but for now, we're just making sure those guys are getting the work that they need. And I think part of my job, and certainly our players' job, is to answer tough questions, and we're want to be respectful of that process and want to make sure we can add what we can add when we can.
Kimberly, the Browns didn't just trade for Deshaun Watson. They traded away three first-round picks plus multiple other picks and gave him $230 million fully guaranteed in the contract. What's the reaction been from the Browns as more and more news, at least to us, comes out about Deshaun Watson?
If you thought that the Browns were going to have a reaction today after this article, you haven't been paying attention because they made the decision to trade for Deshaun Watson, give up the assets, give a record $230 million guaranteed to him despite the 22 different women who had filed lawsuits. And the Times article, as much as we're reacting to it, there has been no statement from the team. They're waiting for the league to act. They feel as though the two grand juries declined to indict on criminal charges, and that means all systems go, that he's allowed to play, and he's going to play for us. The Browns want to get as close to football as they possibly can, because when we get to football, that means they hope he can win games and win Super Bowls for them, and that is what this is all about.
Sounds like compartmentalization in some ways. Damian, this article reported by Jenny Vrentis at the New York Times was full of depths of information. Much, I think, if not all, was brand new to many people like myself and yourself. What were you thinking when you read this article? Incredible reporting with all sorts of info that maybe 24, 48 hours ago, I didn't realize was part of this case.
Yeah, Phil, it's, you know, just reading it, man, it's just, just all the information really is just stunning to see it all unfold. And I know as a former athlete, I think Teddy Bruschi can speak on this as well, is that when it comes to our body, we are our own entity. We are our own company. And we have to maximize our ability day after day, week after week, year after year. And you do that by, obviously, you know, massage therapists, people, acupuncture, all types of people that help you make sure you're physically able to go out there and perform at the top of your ability. And most guys, I would say 99% of guys, when they find one person, whether it be massage therapist, whatever it is, they lock down that person, okay? It is not normal to go out there and go out and get 60-plus women for a masseuse. That is not normal behavior. It is predatory behavior, in my opinion, when you go out there and you're trying to, you know, solicit that many people to perform that type of act. And so, again, I'm just going to repeat it again. That is not normal behavior by Deshaun Watson.
I played 13 years in the league, and through massage therapists, acupuncturists, and chiropractors, there were five people that worked on my body. And that's how it usually is. And that's how a lot of athletes know, just like Damian's talking about, how specific we are. If you get something that doesn't work, a bad treatment, then it can affect you going into a game. And that's where you just can't have something like that. It affects your performance. So this is alarming, and this just isn't going away. I mean, I've had conversations with my wife recently now. I've been out of the league a long time, just explaining what's going on with Deshaun Watson. So every time a Cleveland Brown player is asked about Deshaun Watson and he has to either, I don't know, do you voice support and voice about, okay, it's just about who he is when he enters the building, it's hard to do. And especially if you have strong beliefs on this field, you're right. Compartmentalize is the right word because, I mean, he's your quarterback and he's going to help you win games eventually. And you have to make this work. I understand you have to make this work, but this just isn't going away anytime soon because these lawsuits will continue into the offseason and it's going to be a long, drawn-out process for the Cleveland Browns organization.
So I thought Woody said something that was really interesting. It's not normal. But the Browns and the other teams that were interested in Deshaun Watson, they raised the question of, but is it criminal? You know, having all these different masseuses, is that a crime? The Browns and other teams who were interested in Deshaun Watson are comfortable living in the gray, comfortable saying, well, we weren't there, but we did our due diligence. And we feel comfortable that Deshaun, what he's saying versus these women, we're okay with what we've uncovered. But here's the thing for the Browns. They have to bank on the fact that nothing else will come out going forward. They are tied to him for 5 years, $230 million guaranteed. They are tied to him, GM Andrew Berry, the Haslams. This is their decision, and they're going to ride with Deshaun because he's such a good football player.
Well, if any more information comes out the Browns were not previously aware of, or if anything yesterday was not something they were aware of as well, then I'm not sure they did enough of their own due diligence.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There you see him, the two names in the center of the Steelers quarterback competition, Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, the vet and the rookie. They're going to compete for the job this summer, but for now, they're working their way through OTAs. This is like elementary school at this point of the offseason, and just within the last hour, each of them spoke. Here what they had to say.
We got a great quarterback room. I like the guys we got in there. We've also been building relationships in there as well. So it's competitive every day, but at the same time, with my experience, I'm helping the young guys. I feel like when I communicate with them, it also helps me talk through this offense, and I feel like I get to know it that much better as well.
Yeah, the mentor word, I mean, I don't think it's, like I said, it's not his job to just sit there and teach me. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to watch him. It's really my job to ask questions and to learn from him and watch how he does things. There's kind of a fine line between that mentoring thing, but we have a great relationship and everything's going smoothly.
No one better to talk Steelers with than our great ESPN NFL Nation Steelers reporter, Brooke Pryor, who was at the facility today talking to the players and the coaches. Brooke, good afternoon. And what has the team had to say about the quarterback competition that's at least going on now, will really heat up later on this summer?
Look, Field, I don't want to get you too excited because it is June, but I did watch a quarterback lead a two-minute drill with crowd noise in Pittsburgh today. Granted, the crowd noise was coming from an iPod and they were in shorts, but Mitch Trubisky ran a two-minute drill. They scored in it. It was a touchdown pass to Chase Claypool. Yesterday, they also simulated a game-like two-minute drills at the end with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. Neither one of those guys scored. Mason Rudolph was picked off. Kenny Pickett had a really nice completion to Connor Hayward, but just ran out of time. Look, quarterbacks coach Mike Sullivan told me it's not going to be perfect right now. These guys are trying to earn their white belts in jiu-jitsu. And Sullivan would know about that. He's actually a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. White belt is the very first one. It's what you earn after you kind of set the foundation for everything that you're learning. I asked Kenny Pickett about that. I said, do you feel like you're earning your white belt? And he said, I know one thing's for sure. I don't have a black belt in anything. So everyone is still learning. Like you said, it's elementary school right now in this quarterback competition.
All right. I learned two things. Don't mess with Mike Sullivan, their quarterback coach, and Brooke. Go find that iPod because I think they just got discontinued. Whoever owns that might have themselves a hidden treasure they could sell on eBay for like $1 million a little bit later on in the future. Thanks as always, Brooke. All right, so last season, the Steelers posted a total QBR as a team of just 35.9, by far the lowest mark of any team that actually made the playoffs. The next closest two teams were the Eagles and 49ers. Both had at least a 13-point gap. In fact, last season, Pittsburgh became just the third team to make a postseason with a sub-40 QBR. That metric was introduced back in 2006. All right, Damian Woody, I want to know what level of belt you already have. But more importantly, can they get enough out of either of these quarterbacks to make it back to the playoffs?
You know, that's an interesting question, Field. I go back to the offseason to what Mike Tomlin talked about as far as the quarterback position. He wanted to get more mobility out of the quarterback position. We know that Big Ben, towards the latter part of his career, really was a statue back there. And in today's game, we've seen a lot of these quarterbacks being able to make plays off platform and out of the pocket with their legs. And I think when you look at Mitchell Trubisky, you know, he was a polarizing guy, you know, during his time with the Chicago Bears. And I think he, you know, going to Buffalo, really had an opportunity to kind of, you know, sit back behind Josh Allen and kind of reset everything that was going on with his career. And now moving over to the Pittsburgh Steelers, he gets an opportunity to display that dimension that Mike Tomlin was talking about, the running and being implemented in this offense. So I think Mitch Trubisky has a great opportunity with the weapons around him to really really elevate that quarterback position.
Yeah, so we'll see how they use him. I mean, the play calling in Pittsburgh should be dramatically different than when you had Ben Roethlisberger standing there and then getting rid of that ball in 1.5 seconds. And that's the way basically a lot of times they ran the football in terms of short passes. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers, so do they realistically have a chance to win the North? I don't think so. The Cincinnati Bengals have passed them. They passed them even when they had Ben Roethlisberger last year. But this is a team that has a defense that's special. Defensive player of the year in T.J. Watt. I mean, they're so good. Run game, defense, special team. And Mike Tomlin's a great coach. You know those teams that, you know, they're mathematically possible in the playoffs, but realistically, it's not possible. I think that's what we'll get with the Pittsburgh Steelers come week 16, week 17. They'll be competitive by the time the year ends up finishing. But in terms of the North, I think it's past them for now.
As we all know, by the way, Mike Tomlin has never finished a season under 500. I've also confirmed that the highest belt you can achieve in jiu-jitsu is a red belt. That's something for all of us to aim for as we begin our new favorite activity.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The Commanders' quarterback carousel spun once again this offseason as the team traded for Carson Wentz from the Colts. Marked the second trade of Wentz in as many offseasons, but he is settling into his new home as the Washington starter. Take a listen.
I have a lot of expectations for this offense and just seeing, you know, little flashes of what I think we can be. Obviously, it's not perfect. That's why it's OTAs. That's why we're out here kind of throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks and who we're going to be as an offense. But it's been a lot of fun, and I have a lot of high hopes for this team.
So Washington is hoping that Carson Wentz can solve their quarterback woes, at least in recent years. Ron Rivera took over as the head coach back in 2020. And since then, the Commanders ranked 30th in team total QBR and 29th in both yards per dropback and touchdowns per pass attempt. They've also started a league-high 6 different quarterbacks over that span. Earlier today, Commanders defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio addressed the media and was asked about a recent tweet in which he seemed to question why the coverage of the Capitol riots on January 6th of this year had been different than some of the events during the initial stages of the Black Lives Matter movement in the summer of 2020 following the death of George Floyd. Del Rio was tweeting in response to an article with coverage on the forthcoming trials surrounding the Capitol riots and had this to say on Twitter. As you can see here in just a moment, we'd love to understand, quote, the whole story about what the summer of riots, looting, burning, and the destruction of personal property is never discussed, but this is hashtag common sense. Here's Del Rio addressing it earlier today.
I think we all as Americans have the right to express ourselves, especially if you're being respectful. I'm being respectful. I just asked a simple question. Really, let's get right down to it. What did I ask? A simple question. Why are we not looking into those things? If we're going to talk about it, why are we not looking into those things? Because it's kind of hard for me to say. I can realistically look at it. I see the images on TV. People's livelihoods are being destroyed. Businesses are being burned down. No problem. And then we have a dust up at the Capitol. Well, there's nothing burned down. And we're not going to talk about, we're going to make that a major deal. I just think it kind of two standards. And if we apply the same standard and we're going to be reasonable with each other, let's have a discussion. That's all it was.
All right. So, Teddy, I'll ask you this first. How is all of this going to play out for players in the locker room as they hear this from their defensive coordinator?
Well, I just think they're going to look at Coach Del Rio and just say, Coach, you took it a little too far, man. I mean, I understand. You can all see what he's trying to say. But when you refer to the Capitol attack as a dust up, I mean, people died. And so you're taking it a little too far. This is why I want my football coaches to talk about football. And that's about all. Mm. So, I mean, especially when we're in mini camps, let's just focus on what we got to do, Coach. Now this is a little bit of a distraction. You talk about the word compartmentalized, field. That's what you got to do again here. I mean, I've had many teammates, okay, that I've had disagreements with in the locker room over social issues. But it's like, listen, you just don't know what you're talking about. You disagree, and it's okay to disagree, and then you move forward from there. But that happens a lot in a locker room. You can have those discussions with your coaches also, but this is just part of the process here. Del Rio misspoke. Del Rio... I do not like the way he described that attack in January 6th as a dust-up. That's how a lot of players probably can feel. But he's also the type of player that probably you can go to and talk to man-to-man.
So, Phil, this is why I found his entire statement problematic, because Jack Del Rio is a coach who is literally making a living off the backs of black players. The league is made up primarily of black individuals. And for him to draw this vague connection and this vague parallel between people protesting based off of the systematic killing of unarmed black people by police, like, that's the core of the issue for Black Lives Matter. You can say, I don't approve of looting or rioting. I hate to see that, but I understand the anger. I understand what these players are saying. I understand what these communities are feeling. You can say that, but he hasn't expressed any understanding for the root cause of why these protests were happening. And then to equate it to an insurrection at the Capitol, which 7 people died, 4 police officers killed themselves. To call that a dust-up is just disrespectful. And he has said, players have never come to me in my time in Washington. Players have never had an issue with anything I've said. At least they haven't come to me publicly. And if they would, I would sit down with them. That is great. But a lot of players understand that the league that talks about, we understand about, we care about our players, we care about social justice. You have moments like these where your coaches or your owners speak and let you know what they really think. And that is a difficult thing for a lot of players. Even though some guys in this locker room, like Jonathan Allen, said, we have no issue with Del Rio, he's well-liked, in the back of their minds for some of these players, they're not going to forget these statements.
You know, it just, I really had to ponder this whole topic before we came on the show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to hear, you know, Jack Del Rio talk about dust up, and you guys mentioned it, dust up. You're talking about insurrection, a mob trying to overthrow the government, where 7 people died, and that's a dust-up. And trying to equate what happened in the summer of 2020 in the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd, it's just ridiculous. And as a black man in a league where 70-75% of the locker room are African American, you know, that whole incident, that whole summer of 2020 hits home for a lot of players and their communities. And so as a player, you're sitting there thinking, looking at Jack Del Rio like, where is it? What angle is this dude coming from? What is this dude talking about? Trying to equate one thing with another, trying to equate what happened in the summer of 2020 with overthrowing the government? Are you kidding me right now? But I think Teddy Bruschi brought up a good point. The locker room is a melting pot. It's a great social experiment. And the one thing that happens in the locker room is players are able to compartmentalize these issues, complex issues, for the greater good of the team. Because at the end of the day, players from the Washington Commanders still have to go out there and play 17 games this year. Regardless of how you feel about your coach, your teammate, you still got to go out there for one cause, and that's try to win football games.
Yeah, we'll see whether it has any impact in the locker room or not, but curious comments, and the NFL always talks about not wanting unwanted distractions, at least for a day. We have one in D.C.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Super Bowl, let's go.
Cooper Kupp's in the end zone. Stafford sees him. Touchdown, Kupp.
The Rams have taken the lead.
Cooper clutch.
I love you, man. Whatever the f*** happens, I love you.
We feel like he deserves the raise. Cooper Kupp, he is next on the list.
Last season, Cooper Kupp had one of the best receiving seasons ever. He recorded the second most receptions and receiving yards in a single season all time. But despite that historic season, Kupp's contract averages just north of $15 million per year. And I just checked my notes. That currently places him 19th amongst wide receivers. So, Kimberly, we just got the Aaron Donald deal done in Los Angeles. Is a massive, massive raise on tap here for Cooper Kupp?
Field, that's a great word. You can't say massive. Will it be massive? It'll be great when the Rams get him back and re-signed. But Cooper Kupp has made it clear that he does not want to reset the market. He wants to do what is best for everyone. And he understands there's a bigger picture. If I eat up a ton of space, then that means that's less room for other guys. Now, Aaron Donald, as you said, just signed a massive, massive deal as well. So I think Kupp understands that he just wants to get in where he fits in. This is a team that can repeat a Super Bowl champ, and he's good with that. But he will never have as much leverage as he does right now.
Sure.
And he's thinking about the team, not himself.
It's so interesting because I respect every player that earns every single dollar that he has earned. You also respect these players that just say, hey, you know something? I'm good with whatever, $25 million per year. It can help us help other players stick around. It's sort of an interesting dichotomy, but both a lot of respect for each approach that these players may or may not take. And we've told you about Cooper Kupp's contract. How about his new teammate? He was asked about playing alongside Allen Robinson, signed from Chicago this offseason. Have a listen.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, again, I've touched on it a couple weeks ago, just what he's done in terms of just his mental aptitude and what he's learned and what he is as a football player. It's been so much fun to be able to collaborate with him. So I'm very excited about what he brings to us and really excited for, you know, being able to get to training camp, really start competing, and then, you know, heading into the season. I just think there's a lot of potential for us to be able to go do some really, really special things, but we have to stack the blocks day by day and build into that.
All right, Teddy, I'll start with you here. Can Allen Robinson jump in and replace the combo of definitely Robert Woods and possibly Odell Beckham Jr., who's still a free agent right now, from last season?
Oh, that's a lot of production and a lot of leadership, especially from Woods and Odell Beckham Jr., of course, being as explosive as he is. I don't know if he can do all of that field, but definitely become a major contributor. I mean, this is a good football player in Allen Robinson, playing wide receiver, that came from places, a place that he doesn't know what winning is like. And I think I think that's the biggest value of Allen Robinson to the Los Angeles Rams. Them as world champions, okay, they're going to see a guy that hasn't had a lot of team success, and they're going to see how hungry he is. And that's why I think it's very important for Allen Robinson to go there and show them that hunger, that although you are the Super Bowl champions, I'm here, I haven't done anything, you don't really, I don't really care what you did last year, and show them what that hunger really is. For us repeating, it was Corey Dillon when he came in. Yeah. Someone you want to win for. And the way Cooper Kupp is talking about Allen Robinson, it's almost like he's starting to be viewed as that guy, that this guy is a baller. You've respected him for so long. You want to go out and win another one for this guy.
Yeah, Robinson really never had the chance to win big. And yep. Did I mention, Kimberly, that Odell Beckham Jr. is still a free agent?
You might have said that, Field.
Yeah, maybe, worth bringing it up one more time. So he's still a free agent.
Yep.
Still not recovered from that ACL tear suffered in the Super Bowl. Probably won't be for a while. Are we any closer to him getting a deal, LA or elsewhere?
I love the timing, though, of Odell showing up randomly at Sean McVay's wedding.
Sure.
Because it just signals this is going to happen. You just think it's going to happen. It makes too much sense not to happen. Even when Odell was with the Giants, there was rumors that he wanted to get to LA. Now he's in LA. Being that he's not healthy, there isn't any a sense of urgency to sign him right now, but he's a signing where you get him in the building November, December. He's that late postseason push that you're trying to make. This is a roster that is stacked. You don't need him as your number one, but you know that he will ball and he will score touchdowns at will. So you guys just won a Super Bowl with him, and I expect him to be back in LA.
Okay, that will be interesting. And Damian, Teddy just mentioned Corey Dillon and the infusion of energy he brought. Mm-hmm. That was the last time we saw any team repeat as Super Bowl champions, the Patriots back in 2003 and 2004. So are the Rams, at least as currently constructed, are they set up to repeat this year?
Well, listen, the Rams are a very good football team. You got Matthew Stafford going in his second year into the system. He should be able to play at a higher level, cut back on the interceptions. Cam Akers, who tore his Achilles in training camp last year and miraculously came back at the end of the season, he should be a lot better, you know, a lot further along, you know, as far as his productivity is concerned. But I go back to this, Phil. I go back to, and you brought it up, there hasn't been a repeat champion since 03-04. That's almost 20 years. You know why? It is so hard to do. And Teddy can speak on this as well. Every week, every team is bringing their A game. You will watch a team on film and think, okay, I think we got these guys. And these teams are playing you just as what you are, a Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
And you have to go through that for 17 weeks in a season. That is very hard to do. So I love the Rams roster. It is just mentally taxing to go through a season, go through a gauntlet with all those teams gunning for you like that.
And you become the hunted. You're no longer the hunters in the NFL. And part of the reason why it's going to be tough to repeat, that division they are in, as you may have heard.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On NFL Live, our Bucs reporter Jenna Lane tweeted this video of Tom Brady letting childhood cancer survivors color his hair for the Bucs' annual cut and color for a cure event. Tremendous stuff there from Tom Brady, who, you know what, he's Tom Brady. Of course he makes that red pewter. That's red. Red color hair look good. And from Brady to Bill Belichick, as we play a little game of read and react now, where we head to Foxborough. You know, Bill Belichick wasn't afraid to get in the trenches and put in the work with his offense. Look at him right there. He's 70 years old, shotgun snapping to Mac Jones. And, of course, he had to be asked about it a day later. Take a listen to what Belichick had to say earlier today.
I don't know if I've ever seen you play center at practice. Did you have a little fun getting your hands on the ball and stuff?
Yeah, sure.
Typically for both Belichick right there. Damian, you played 63 games at center for the Patriots. Any tips ever from Belichick based off of his long-storied history at Wesleyan where he played the position?
No, it looked like Bill needed to give me tips because he shotgun snapped better than I ever did during my playing career. So look at him. He's looking real spry. You know, snapping the ball.
Yeah.
Like, he's looking really good right there, man.
Hey Woody, you did struggle at them shotgun snaps a little bit. But hey, let me give you my best Bill Belichick on Bill Belichick at center. Hey Bill, this ain't the NESCAC, buddy.
Wow.
You're not playing against
Tufts
or anybody like that, okay? Get out of here.
Take it easy.
Worth noting that both Kimberly and I went to Wesleyan, where Bill Belichick went as well. So of course the Cardinals are having a big day. Always. Did we talk about the Cardinals?
They're okay, I guess.
No. Wesleyan or bust. The Wesleyan Cardinals, who are the real Cardinals, but the other Cardinals, the NFL version, they're out in Arizona. And after appearing at OTAs last week for the first time this offseason, Kyler Murray is not in attendance this week. And it's been a topic of conversation. We all know that that's going to be something that Cliff Kingsbury is going to be asked about 9,000 times over the next couple of months, unless a deal is reached before then. But, Kimberly, let's start here. Do we have any sense on where the relationship between Kyler and the Cardinals front office is right now as we are awaiting a potential new deal?
This is so fascinating, Field, because as of right now, it seems all is quiet on the contract talks. But Steve Keim, the GM, has made it clear recently Kyler is their future. And we assume that a deal will get done this summer. The question is when this summer. Mm. But they've already paid Cliff Kingsbury. The Cardinals understand how good Kyler is. They understand that they cannot be a team without a quarterback, because right now with these young guns, you cannot have a roster that doesn't have a quarterback that can get you to the playoffs and potentially win your Super Bowl. So they understand what's at stake. They want to get him signed to an extension. The question is when, not if.
Yeah, Kim, I mean, this is just something where, I mean, if I'm a veteran in the locker room, you got to get Kyler in there. And feelings are hurt. Quarterbacks and their feelings every single offseason. Is it about unfollowing on social media? Is it about not having a contract and all of this stuff? So people like Woody and myself, when they finally get back in the locker room, we got to make sure everything's okay, all right? And Kyler being young, that's what you got to do as a veteran leader. You got to get the best out of him for one season, because you don't know what the drama is going to be next season. You hope everything works out and he's happy, but it's just something that veterans got to deal with, because you've got a quarterback that's sensitive. And I say sensitive in a nice way, because can Kyler Murray come in and just, can he be the leader of the locker room? Because that's who players like me and Wood, we want you to take the reins, quarterback. Mm-hmm. You got to be the one that everybody looks to. And right now, I don't see that in Kyler Murray being that guy.
Yeah, Teddy, you alluded to it, man. There's been questions about Kyler Murray's leadership on that team. And it just seems like there's always some type of drama that swirls this organization. You know, we've seen over the past couple years, you know, towards the end of the season, how they've fallen off a cliff. And when you look at their whole dynamic with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, it's always one thing or another. We got the contract situation. You got DeAndre Hopkins, who's going to be suspended for the first six games of the upcoming season. We saw clearly the effect that had on Kyler Murray's play at the end of last season. So, look, if I'm the Cardinals organization, get the contract thing done. Get it over with, okay? Because the last thing you need is your quarterback to be in his feelings about the contract, so you can eliminate that distraction and focus on what's important, football.
You know, Damian, sometimes these contract stories are sort of vehicles for us to talk about the team at large. And you mentioned no DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games of the season. The Cardinals have traditionally started better than they have finished with Kyler Murray as their quarterback. But you look at their first three games this year. How concerned are you for this team, especially not having DeAndre Hopkins? Because how's this for an opening three games? The Chiefs, the revamped Raiders in Las Vegas, and then you get the Rams, the defending Super Bowl champions, at home. I mean, that could be a difficult hole they're going to dig themselves potentially into.
It's not the NESCAC.
Wow. Wow, Teddy, still doing this. No. Don't like it.
You know what? I'm just gonna leave it there. You know, I was gonna have a thoughtful conversation, but I'm gonna head and just
leave
Cardinal it there.
Season, so.
Yeah, I was gonna
all
say,
right.
Teddy, don't let me compare the Arizona Wildcats football record to the Wesleyan Cardinals football record last year. Time now for one more thing before we go. Take a listen to 49ers left tackle Trent Williams talking about his reaction to Aaron Donald's new contract that, of course, was signed this week.
Yeah, I wish he would have retired, but I mean, he deserves a contract. Obviously, we all know what he can do. I don't know him on a personal level. I like competing against him. Brings out the best in all of us, so, you know.
Teddy, who's the guy that you wish had retired early at some point during his career?
Field, if Michael Strahan would have retired 1 year early, I mean, there wouldn't be any. Maybe not an 18-1 because Stray absolutely crushed us in the Super Bowl 07. We're 18-0, okay? We going for a 19-0 mark. Strahan and that defensive line. He was talking about retiring. Stray, you should have took off and we would have got that game, Stray. What'd you have to do that for?
You got one quickly, Damian, or no?
Yeah, I'm going Cam Wake, man, the defensive end from the Dolphins. Yeah. That dude gave me all types of hell at the end of my career.
He was
a
beast.
I was like, man, can you get the hell out of here, please?
A beast from the CFL. NFL Live is back tomorrow. Watch the NBA Finals tonight.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.